Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 5 in the NFL. We're hanging on by a thread, it seems like, though, with the Titans situation and a couple of other things. So we're just glad to get some games in. I am one of your hosts, Jimmy Traina, joined, as always, by my colleagues, Mitch Goldich and Gary Gramling. We will preview Week 5 here, but let's recap our best bets for Week 4. I went 3-2. And really, I shouldn't even take credit for being over 500 because I had the over in the Colts-Bears game, which set offensive football back about 50 years. Every game this year has 5,000 points, and they couldn't move the ball to get 5 yards in that game. Gary, how'd you do last week?
I went 2-2, and we did do this in the correct order because now we get to save Mitch for the big finale here.
Mitch, what was your record?
Well, listen, I went 5-1, and then, of course, the SI, well, I'm not happy because the SI Gambling has us do our one best bet of the week, and, of course, I gave them my one loss, and I won five other games.
Which was Arizona, right? Because we all had Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona has now banked me 2 weeks in a row. But I will say it was very exciting, the ending, because I had the Bills-Raiders. Well, I had the Bills -3, and then I also had the over 52.5 in that game. So the Raiders were down by 2 touchdowns, and they were at 46. And you guys know the debate, which has been raging for 2 years now, about if you're down 14 and you score a touchdown, do you go for two or not? And I'm watching this touchdown drive, and I'm thinking, oh my God, they're going to score a touchdown. They're going to go for two and miss it, and they're going to finish at 52, and I'll be under. And then I think, if I'm remembering right, Derek Carr actually got kind of hit on the play, and then I saw them hustling in the extra point team, and I was like, yes, kick the extra point. Final score, they hit 53 on the button. Take my over, 5-1 for the week. It was a fun way to end things.
Well, 5-1 is 5-1. I mean, you shouldn't quibble with, you know, that's an impressive it's an impressive mark right there.
Well, thank you. We're doing pretty well as a group here on the season. We've updated them all. We are 32-22-1. So
pretty
just
good.
A clip under 60% as a group.
That's pretty good. And I think I have like 6 best bets this week, so we'll try to keep it rolling. We're going to go through all the games here. We're not going to talk about Tennessee-Buffalo because we don't know what the status is there. And we're not going to talk about New England-Denver because we don't know what the status is there and if they're going to be played, delayed. If you are better, you're insane to go near those games. That's all I would say about that. But we'll go through the rest of the board right now, beginning with the Arizona Cardinals, who we all had last week and lost with. This is how bad the Jets are. Arizona's going into New York, and the Cardinals are 7-point favorites. The total here is 47. Mitch?
Yeah, so as I said, the Cardinals let me down not just last week, but the week before as well. The Jets are so bad, though. This, to me, I mean, this is a stay away. Always very exciting when you toss to me for the very first game, and my first thing I want to say is I'm not touching this one. But yeah, I'm concerned about the Cardinals. We all raved about DeAndre Hopkins and the move before the season and how he looked early, and he's been great. But I was just looking at their numbers. It is a little concerning. You would have thought they have a good, deep receiver group, but nobody else is doing anything. Andy Isabella is second on that team in receiving yards, averaging 29 a game, and almost half of it came on literally one play that went for 54 yards. So, you know, they have to find a way. You think about that team and Cliff Kingsbury, and it's exciting to think about them going 4 wide on a bunch of plays and spreading the ball around. But they really have to, you know, I think, figure out who they are and actually, if that's their plan, put it into practice a little better. And even the running backs, Drake and Edmonds, they are not contributing very much in the passing game right now. They're both averaging under 4 yards a carry. So, but all that said, can't pick the Jets. I still think the Cardinals are much better, but it's a stay away from me just because the Jets are so bad that, looking at that 7 points. And of course, you can picture the Cardinals and the team we saw the first 2 weeks and imagine them winning by 10, 14, 21 more against this bad Jets team. So I'm staying away from this game.
Gary?
It is. Mitch, you're right. That Cardinals offense is kind of an offense to the air raid moniker at this point. It is. They do spread it out with 4 wide, and then they throw it behind the line of scrimmage and pick up 2.5 yards, and that's the offense right now. That said, I am going with the Cardinals this week. I'm going to end up best betting them as well. one, because of the Jets, obviously. You know, the Jets are just not going to be competitive. Joe Flacco is not coming to the rescue this week. I don't mind the Jets' defense. I just don't think you can play defensive football to that level where you can actually hang around in this game. And I do think this ends up being probably an ugly, like, you know, whatever, 24-10 type win for the Cardinals. There was one trend I found. It's a little bit convoluted, so I'll just sort of sum it up as a, if you're looking at yards per play, a team with really good offense with really good yards per play against a defense with really bad yards per play. And when that offense is coming off a bad loss, 27-6 over the last five seasons. And I do think this is a perfect spot for the Cardinals to bounce back here.
I can't go back to Arizona with them being banged up. Back-to-back games on the East Coast. I have a funny feeling that Flacco may keep the Jets in it more than Darnold would have at this point. It almost like going sitting out a week is almost a blessing in disguise for Darnold, since that team is just so bad. But that I don't really that's a stay-away game for me. The next game, the Rams go into Washington. The Rams are 7.5-point favorites. The total here is 45. Gary.
Yeah, Kyle Allen back in the saddle here. I really don't – I think that's a lateral move at best. I guess maybe you're a little bit less mistake-prone with Kyle Allen than you were with Dwayne Haskins, but I thought Haskins was fine last week in Baltimore. I thought he was a disaster in the Cleveland loss. I thought he was fine against Baltimore. And made some mistakes. That's just what you're going to get with a young quarterback. But I'd lean Rams here. I wouldn't lean that heavily. That's kind of a big number for a West Coast team coming across the country. Especially, I mean, we saw the Rams play an ugly one last week against the Giants. Now you go to that field in Landover that's kind of a crappy turf and sort of a slow turf anyway. And it's probably ugly. It's probably low scoring, and low scoring is where about a 45 total belongs this year. So Washington lean, probably no lean on the total, though.
Mitch?
I like the Rams here. Washington stinks. It's we got excited about them after week one. The defensive line is very good, especially with Chase Young on the field. But we got pretty excited about them week one, watching them beat up the Eagles offensive line, playing basically all backups. And since then, they've lost three games in a row by 14 or 15 points. The quarterback switch is interesting. I think it's a bad decision for the long-term future of a team that you would think wants to spend this year seeing what they have in a recent first-round pick at quarterback. But it is interesting, you know, what that says about how Ron Rivera perceives the rest of his roster. Like, I guess he must think that they're not that far away, and let's see if we can win this division and see what we've got here. But I don't know. I feel like I say this every week, trying to manage comparing what we thought about teams coming into the season versus what we've actually seen in the first month. And nobody liked Washington coming into the season, and they did have a win in week one, but the last 3 weeks, I think they've shown us what they are. Small underrated thing, Sean McVay here. Because, you know, sometimes when you look at lines that are over a touchdown, is he going to want to win big? I don't know about the beef between all the former Washington coaches and assistant coaches who've moved on elsewhere. But, you know, if they have a chance to turn a 10-point game into 17, is he going to want to stick it and say hi to Daniel Snyder a little bit? Maybe. I could see that. I think they're going to want to score some points. I like the Rams here.
I like the over in this game a lot. I actually like the quarterback change. I don't think Haskins is any good. Kyle Allen had a little experience with Ron Rivera in Carolina. I don't see the the Washington football team slowing down the Rams without Chase Young. And I think, you know, you get a low total. Every total, you know, is in the 50s, it seems like. This one's only 45. Rams offense comes in playing well. So I like the over in this one a lot, I must say. Next game, the Steelers giving 7.5 points to the first place NFC Eagles, NFC East Eagles, after all the bashing they've taken. Total here is 44.5, Mitch.
Yeah, and of course you toss this one to me first. I got to tell you, I hate a lot of the games on the board this whole week. I was looking at it. There are not as many games as we've had in recent weeks that I'm excited to watch or lines that I'm really excited to pick. Just a bunch of these games where it's like 6 and 7 point lines. And, you know, I don't know. This game, I thought the under would be what I'd want. we're looking at a league now where maybe three teams are good at defense, and the Steelers are one of them. And the Eagles have obviously had problems on offense. I mean, they've had a lot of problems, but their offense has been much more of a problem than their defense, which I think is fine. So you could see a low-scoring game here. But 44.5 is pretty low, and you know, I think that's a little too low for me to take the under. This is also a weird one to get a feel for. Just remember, the Steelers, they were off last week, but it wasn't like a full bye week because they found out in the middle that the game was going to be called. And a lot of times you'd think that would be good for a team. Big Ben actually came out and said it was annoying, like they were finally getting into a rhythm, and then they lose that rhythm, and he wishes they were able to play last week, which I guess that makes sense. I mean, football players always say they wish they got to play, even though they do like the bye when they get an actual bye week. So I don't know. All that to say, another stay-away game from me. You know, I think my bias toward the Eagles comes up every single week, and I did pick the Steelers to win. I think I just think the line's a little bit too high to pick the Steelers to cover, but I don't want to pick the Eagles right now to cover either. So, I thought about the under, couldn't talk myself into it, and it's a stay away.
Gary?
Yeah, I lean Pittsburgh here. It's funny. I think Pittsburgh's a little overrated at this point. I think the Eagles are probably a little underrated, considering they did get some stuff right last week. The thing you got to keep in mind, though, I mean, they got three ugly turnovers from Nick Mullins to win that game in San Francisco. They might have lost that game by a touchdown otherwise, even with Wentz playing better and them sort of figuring out some semblance of offensive football. And the 49ers defense is not what it was because of all the injuries. The Steelers defense is very much what it is. They're complex, they're multiple, they are tough for young players to play against. So it's, Wentz might make some plays with his legs and keep him around and that sort of thing, and maybe this ends up being a really ugly game. But I think this is another one. Total is in the mid-40s, which is where it should be. I think the Steelers might win this by double digits, even if the Eagles hang around for a while.
This is another over I like. And again, low total, 44.5. I just think the Eagles' defense is terrible. I don't really think it's any good at all. Steelers at home should be able to move the ball. Roethlisberger's playing well. The Philly offense is just so weird. Like, you don't know how they're going to score, but somehow they put a couple of touchdowns on the board. I don't know. I just, with you getting a total of 44.5, I'm taking the overs this year in all these games, basically. If you're getting, low totals like that. So that's another over for me.
Travis Fulgham time.
What was that?
Travis Fulgham time.
Yeah. Listen, he caught a touchdown last week. There you go. Next game, the Panthers go into Atlanta to face the Falcons. Somehow, some way, Quinn is still the head coach, but the Falcons are favored by 1.5. Total 54.5. There's one of those high totals. Gary?
I do like Atlanta, and I almost best bet them in this one. Again, you want to be stubborn about your preseason sort of assessment of teams, but if you saw this line in on Labor Day, you'd wonder what was going on in the world. Oh, you probably wondered what was going on in the world at that point anyway. But I'll say this. I'm backing off just because Atlanta's obviously they're so volatile anyway. Even when they play well, they figure out a way to screw things up. They are very injured in the defensive backfield. And, we've seen the Panthers come up with a couple of pretty good game plans the last couple weeks. They're also the Falcons, since beginning of 2018, games that have a total of 50 or more. 4-15 against the spread. So it seems like even with Matt Ryan and sort of an offense that can be high-flying, and we'll see what Julio's deal is this week, they figure out a way to disappoint in those games as well. They figure out a way to lose. I don't know what else to say at this point. They really are not fundamentally a bad team. They are bad in the secondary when all these guys are out, but they're not a bad team, and they have figured out a way to be bad. So I'm going to stay away, but I'll lean Atlanta here if you are courageous.
Mitch?
Yeah, I can keep it pretty brief because I agree with pretty much everything Carrie just said about Atlanta as a team, about what we would have thought of this line on Labor Day. Everything else since Labor Day has gone perfectly according to plan in the world, obviously. No, and listen, I'll say the Panthers are better than I thought they'd be, and I think that's probably true for a lot of people. And so I will recalibrate my expectations accordingly, but that doesn't mean that they're going to go 8-8. You know, I still think they're going to lose some games and trip up in spots. And, you know, I think this could easily be one division game on a road against a team that really, really needs a win. So I feel similar to Gary, and I'm not going to best bet it, but I definitely lean Falcons here.
Make this 3 in a row for me on the overs. I think this is a total up and down the field game. Teddy Bridgewater is playing very well, very quiet, doesn't get the credit he deserves. But he's done a great job for Carolina. And, you know, it's interesting. They get their two wins when Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. You know, with Christian McCaffrey, they were 0-2 this year. The Falcons defense can't stop anyone. I've said it before. We could put together an SI team of people and we'd score on the Falcons. So I like the over 54.5 in this game a lot. Next game, the Texans with a new coach, Bill O'Brien out, which is a shame if you like to bet against the Texans like I do, because he's a terrible game coach. They're 6-point favorites at home against the Jaguars. The total here is 54, Mitch.
I lost my train of thought. I'm trying to figure out what position I play in this SI football team that's going to go to Atlanta and beat the Falcons. But maybe
I thought you were giving me a chance to plug train of thoughts.
That was both unintentional, but we know you're the master of plugs. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm Gary is smirking over there. I wonder if he's got stats on teams' records against the spread in their first game after they fire a head coach. That seems like something he would have. I don't have that in front of me. Now I see his eyes scanning a page here on Zoom.
I got nothing, Mitch.
Well, you've let me down yet again, Gary. Yeah, this is a tough one. I actually, two teams that I just feel like I'm now wrong about every week. I actually think the Jaguars are a little bit better than a lot of people think. They have been pretty frisky and competitive in three of their four games. And as is often the case, it just so happens the one game they looked the worst in was in primetime against the Dolphins. And so I think a lot of times people just overrate or overinflate the importance of the one game they've seen start to finish. The Bill O'Brien stuff is interesting because all the criticisms about him as a general manager are fair, but I think people have sort of defended his record as a coach over the years, and you look at their record and their number of times in the playoffs, and you got to say, well, he was doing some things right, but then the story comes out about him, you know, having a heated argument with J.J. Watt at practice, so you wonder if the team is going to be motivated to come out and you know, sort of, you know, prove that it was his fault and like an us against the world kind of thing. I don't know. I do think Houston will win, but 6 points feels like a lot. And I mean, Gardner Minshew backdoor cover is just always possible. And, you know, Houston, I'm ready to admit they're not as good. Very bold of me to say after four games, four losses and the head coach fired that I admit they're not as good as I thought they would be. But they're not. And so I like the Jaguars to cover.
Gary, what do you got on the Texans here without Bill O'Brien?
I do like the Texans in this one. I'll start with the fact that obviously there's not going to be a ton of turnover with the defensive side of the ball. They did shut down Minshew last year. They held him to 3 points in their one meeting. I do agree, though. Minshew is obviously always a little bit dangerous when it comes to any spread over 3 points. You don't know when he's going to pull that backdoor cover. The Jaguars are they're atrocious. They're really bad. Roy Cornell went 2-1 as an interim head coach for the Chiefs back in 2011, and his one loss was in overtime. So there's something of a track record there. The O'Brien stuff, all I'll say about it is, yes, terrible GM. Everyone knows that. I think he's fine as a head coach. He is one of those guys who, when times are good, you take crap from him. He gives people crap all the time. That's just who he is. And when times are good and you're winning, it's, hey, it's working. And when you're 0-3 and 0-4, it's stop it. Like, you don't want to hear it. It's not working. You know, people wanted Belichick fired. I'm not saying Bill O'Brien is Belichick, but people wanted Belichick fired when he was 5-13 over his first 18 games in New England, because that style doesn't work when you're also losing. So I think there's some, you know, I feel like there's probably that bump of, okay, the guy we all sort of rallied against is out, and now we're going to play for Romeo Crennel, who seems to be well-liked everywhere he goes, and they're going to have a good performance here. But the whole situation is too volatile to best bet here. But I do like Houston winning pretty big in this one.
I don't have a feel for this game. I'm very tempted to lean Houston, and I was tempted to best bet them. The Jaguars keep burning me, though, betting for them and against them. But I do think, you know, when you hear these reports about the players were not happy with Bill O'Brien, fighting with players, it does make me think they're going to come out and just kick ass. So I have a lean, strong lean on the Texans, and maybe in the next few minutes I'll decide to best bet them. We'll see. You never know. I get crazy like that.
If we have a lot, you like to have a lot and try to keep up. So
the next game, the Chiefs at home, rolling, welcome in the Raiders. Chiefs are 12-point favorites. Total here, 56. Gary.
I never like spreads this big with division rivals unless there's like, you know, some absurdly bad team. So, as always, you lean Kansas City here. I mean, they completely own that division. The other thing is, you know, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you got to get a four-man pass rush or you have to be really good on the back end. And this Raiders defense is neither of those things. So it's easy to see the Chiefs rolling up a big number, and I'd lean them here. I don't like going double digits with division opponents unless one is just super, super bad.
Mitch?
Yeah, we talk about this every week. Just pick the Chiefs every week and just keep doing it, even against good teams. I think I best bet them even when they play Baltimore on Monday night.
I think they're 3-1 covering so far. I think they didn't cover week one, and they've covered every week since.
The overtime game against the Chargers, they didn't cover.
Monday.
All right, they covered week one, didn't cover week two. That's what it was.
Monday night was dicey. You got to say that. Monday night was not a good performance.
Yeah, they covered. They did. They definitely looked mortal, and part of that, I mean, they had pick six. That certainly helps. At the end there to pad the score. But, I mean, the Raiders just, they're not stopping people, and they're definitely not going to stop the Chiefs. And I just think they're the kind of team that can rebound nicely. If they have a game where the offense doesn't look sharp, which was definitely the case against New England, you'd think that they're going to come out firing on all cylinders next week. I'm going to leave this one alone and not best bet it just because the number is a little high. And, you know, I don't have too much to say. Like, I don't want to sit here and make the case for the Raiders against the Chiefs because I don't feel that way. But you know, the number does scare me off a little bit. There's another bigger number coming up that I am going to take, but this one I'm going to lay off.
Oh, that must be the next game. But I'll say this about the current game. This is basically my life philosophy. If the Chiefs are playing and there's a betting line, you bet the Chiefs. That's it. All right. Speaking of big lines, here we go. Baltimore, 12.5-point favorites against the incoming Bengals and Joe Burrow. Total is 51. Mitch.
Guess what? The old bait and switch. I misspoke when I said I was taking it. I like the Bengals here. I think I saw this earlier at 13 and it's now down to 12.5. I don't know. Cincinnati has definitely been better than I thought they would be. I was worried about Burrow early on in week one, just, you know, being a rookie and what the offseason was like and not having a single snap in the preseason. But they've been impressive. And, you know, everyone loved Zach Taylor last year when he was hired, and he just didn't really have a lot of tools to work with. And so we didn't see much from him in year one. And that's why you got to give a coach a chance and not fire them after one bad season. I just think they look like a competent team, which is certainly an upgrade over what we saw last year. I think Burrow's been impressive. They finally got Joe Mixon involved last week, which is important because what they did the first few weeks with Burrow throwing it literally 60 times is not going to be sustainable for the whole season. I'm just looking back, thinking about Cincinnati and their schedule, they've hung in close with teams. They took the Chargers down at the very end, should have won. They had that tie with the Eagles. They beat the Jaguars. It just feels like they're a competitive team. Baltimore, meanwhile, the biggest story of the game, Lamar Jackson he missed Wednesday in practice, and I saw the alert. I don't know if he missed Thursday or if he was just like a limited participant, and I don't know how important that is. I assume that he's fine and he's going to play. But it definitely hurts their chances of blowing them out if Lamar's not 100%. I've been impressed and I'm ready to buy in. I'm not taking Bengals money line here, but I think it's a huge spread and I like them this week.
Gary?
Yeah, I lean Bengals mostly because of the Lamar concern with the knee. Obviously, if he's going to be slowed at all, that's going to be an issue. They played such a weird game. I was just looking over this box score from their meeting in Baltimore last year. It was a 23-17 game, so obviously the Bengals covered in that game. But the Ravens had 500 yards of offense and possessed the ball for 40 minutes. And I'm trying to figure out how they only put up 23 points because they only had one turnover. Just a really weird game. A couple of like 90-yard drives, I guess, is what ended up being. But they made the Ravens work for it, I guess, their first meeting. And, you know, second meeting, Lamar broke off a couple of big plays. If he is going to be slowed, maybe that doesn't happen. So I'd lean Bengals, but I'd stay away from this one.
Yeah, this is a stay away from me. I'd love to be able to pick Joe Burrow here, but the Ravens are so dangerous, and I don't like the Bengals' defense at all. There's controversy going on. It came out today. They're only going to play Dunlap on third downs. He, like, ripped the team for, you know, pulling him. So, it's a stay away from me. I can't trust that Bengals defense in this game. Next game, the Niners giving 9 points to the incoming Dolphins. You'd think it was time for Tua, but maybe going into San Francisco, not the best week for it. So, maybe this will be the last week we see Ryan Fitzpatrick. But the Niners are giving 9 to the Dolphins. The total is 49.5, Gary.
I like Miami in this one. They've been hanging around in games. They were right there with the Seahawks last week. They kept on settling for field goals was the problem. And then they gave up a drive late, and that ended up being the reason they didn't cover in that game. But this 49ers team, yeah, if Garoppolo's back, obviously they're better. There's no question about that. The defense is just not what it was. It's not what it was with Nick Bosa out. It's not what it was without Bosa and DeForest Buckner. So it becomes, I think, at best a B-plus defense. They're banged up in the secondary as well. I think Miami can easily keep this one within a possession for an entire game and maybe even sneak away with a win out in Santa Clara this week. So I like Miami. I don't think they should be getting more than a touchdown in this game. I don't think the 49ers should be really giving anyone outside of maybe the New York teams a touchdown at this point.
Mitch.
Yeah, this one's a hard one for me. And, you know, Gary, you touched on the injury situation. So much of it comes down to who's playing for San Francisco. You talked about their defense, and their offense is just as banged up. You know, and like you said, is Jimmy G's not going to be back in time, right? Is he not playing? Or I didn't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
He's practicing this week. So
is he?
We'll find out. I'm sure he'll be listed as questionable, but I would expect him to play this week.
Okay, I didn't realize that. That's part of the trouble of taping this on Thursday. But even then, I mean, I know Mostert is questionable, and they're hoping he plays. Debo played last week, but I saw limited practice. Who knows? I mean, Kittle's back. It's just like 49ers. It's very hard for me to bet on this team or even against them, just not knowing who's going to be in the lineup. I'm happy to just stay away here. So.
Yeah, this is a huge stay away for me. The high line, bad team in the Dolphins, and then you had the Niners coming off that loss at home last week to the Eagles. So this is not a play for me at all.
I should know who the starting quarterbacks are, though. That's a bad look for me as an editor at the MMQB whose job it is to follow the news cycle. Feels like I should know at least know who the starting quarterbacks are.
Yeah, but I don't think they know yet.
Yeah.
We know who the quarterbacks are in Dallas. It's Dak Prescott playing out of his mind, and the team can't win a game. They are giving 9.5 points to the New York Football Giants, which Gary just insulted. The total is 54, and again, the Cowboys minus 9.5. Mitch.
All right, I want to be careful with my phrasing here. I don't want to say that I like the Giants, but I do think the Giants can cover here. I just, you know, 9.5, Dallas, you know, Dallas can't stop anybody. They're blowing games left and right, and I just don't want to bet on them to win a game by double digits here when we're just wondering if they can hang on against anybody. The Giants, you know, and Gary said it earlier, that they haven't been particularly inspired, but they've still hung in with teams. They had the one blowout game against the 49ers, but beyond that, they've been close or close-ish with the Steelers, the Bears, the Rams, and at least the scores were close, hung around. I just think, you know, Dallas's defense is such a mess. And you'd think if the Giants' offense can get right against anybody, it ought to be Dallas. You know, we've talked to death their season and how they are very close to being 0-4, if not for the onside kick. So I'm just not going to pick the Cowboys right now to win a game by double digits. I don't care who they're playing against. So You know, I definitely am going with the Giants here.
Gary?
I like the under in this one. I think both these teams have – I mean, look, I don't think they have. They have had a ton of turnover. I mean, it's been you know, they are – Dallas is number one in the league in giveaways, and the Giants are tied for third here. By the way, all NFC East teams, those are four of the top five in giveaways this year. Dallas has been fumbling the ball a lot, which there's no real reason for it. It's a bit of a fluke stat. I mean, it's a mistake when you fumble the ball, but it's not like, you know, it's not something you can point at and say, like, well, they're fumble prone. They're not. They just fumbled a bunch the last couple games. So that probably dries up. The Giants, I mean, look, the Giants just aren't challenging anyone offensively. You know, we watched in the first 2 weeks against Pittsburgh and Chicago, and we kind of said, well, you know, those are teams that are just much, much better than them. The defense versus offense is a huge mismatch. And then they got a team in San Francisco who is shorthanded, who, you know, is not what they were, and they just, it's a meek offensive plan that they have. I do like the quarterback. They're not trying to score points. I don't know how else to put it. So I think Dallas probably cruises in this one ultimately because they're not going to give it away three times in this game in all likelihood. The Giants might because they don't block, and the Cowboys have a couple of guys who can rush the passer, and Alden Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence, and maybe they get Daniel Jones to cough it up a couple of times. I do think the Cowboys would take the opportunity to sort of possess the ball, which is something they haven't done all year, and sort of give their defense a bit of a break. And I just don't think the Giants have they have zero run game. I mean, they have no option of running the ball on any NFL defense at this point, no matter how bad they are. And, you know, their weapons are not, you know, yeah, they're better than the Cowboys' defensive backs, but it's not the kind of mismatch we've seen early in the year. So I think this one ends up probably being a Cowboys win and cover, but I do like the under. I think this one ends up being like I'm picking a lot of 24-10 games this week. So let's call it 23-10, though. Let's mix it up.
Yeah, this is a stay away game from me, but you hit the hell. I don't know how you predict either of these teams at this point. And Gary, you touched on it with the Giant offense, which is impossible to watch. You know, so much of the focus was on Saquon Barkley when he got hurt, but you know, they've been without Sterling Shepard. Evan Ingram has taken an enormous step backwards. They have no weapons at all. Even if Barkley was there, I don't know what the offense would be doing because they're inept from the wide receiver position, it seems like. You know, Slayton, nice player, but like he's like the number one receiver. So I don't know how the Giants can hang with the Cowboys, but the Cowboys can't stop anyone. So I don't know how you begin to sort of lay 9.5 here. So it's a stay away from me. The next game, the Colts go into Cleveland. The Colts are 2-point favorites. The total is 46. I'm going to go first on this one just because when I try to predict the lines every Monday morning, I had the Browns -6 in this one.
Whoa.
And now it's Colts -2. The Colts, I understand their defense is good, but their offense is nothing special at all. And for them to go into, you know, home field is tricky this year with no fans in the stands, but they're going on the road as favorites. Phillip Rivers doesn't look like he can throw the ball more than 10 yards. And the Browns offense with this running game, I know Chubb is hurt, but you plug in Kareem Hunt. Baker Mayfield is playing very well. I was stunned by this line. So I love the Cleveland Browns in this one. Gary?
Oh, such Indianapolis Colts slander on this show, Jimmy.
I don't see them, you know, as such a team to be given points on the road here.
I like the Colts. And look, the Colts are going to play that style of football where they're going to win with defense in the run game, and you hope not to put it in Phillip Rivers' hands. And, you know, maybe you figure it out if you have to. I will say, though, the Browns, they're not great on the back end of that defense. Denzel Ward can play that. You know, there's still question marks at safety in the linebacker spot. If you needed Phillip Rivers to sort of take advantage and manipulate a defense a little bit, this might be the one. The reason I flagged the Browns as a team to not bet on it this way is the fact that they've gotten 10 takeaways at this point, and a lot of that is facing, they got a Dwayne Haskins meltdown game. They got, the Cowboys decided they were going to single block Myles Garrett with an undrafted rookie last week, and, you know, we saw how that worked out. And, they got the Bengals on a Thursday night. I think the Browns do come back to earth because I just don't think they're going to get the takeaways from a Colts offense that is built to keep the ball and possess the ball. If both those Colts linebackers are out, this one becomes probably a stay away for me, just because obviously we know the Browns can run the ball even without Nick Chubb, and you don't want to bet heavy on a team that's going to have two replacement linebackers in a game where linebackers are going to be very important. But I do like the Colts in this one.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind the Colts, they lost to the Jaguars, they beat the Jets, which I don't count. Good win at home against the Vikings. And if you watch the Colts-Bears game last week, first of all, God bless you, it was excruciating to watch. I mean, I don't take that as like, you know, this... Nick Foles out without Doug Peterson, I think people are going to see now what the story is here. And, I mean, he last week was so bad. I guess if you want to go about it and credit the Bears, the Colts defense, you can. I don't go that way, but that's just me. Mitch?
Always dangerous to talk about the team playing Thursday night on this podcast, because who knows, when people listen to this Friday morning, Nick Foles may have thrown for 7 touchdown passes against the Bucs. You know, we don't know.
I'll take my chances on that one.
Probably more likely he threw for maybe 260 and 1 touchdown. I don't know, but we'll see. I think the line here is just the universe knowing that the Browns cannot have sustained success and win 4 games in a row and have all things looking so good this early in the season. But I'm with Jimmy. I don't feel quite as strongly, but I picked the Browns to win this game straight up, and I like them. I am ready and willing to begrudgingly admit that the Colts are better than I thought they would be. Again, partly because, like I said, they're one of 2 or 3 teams in the entire league that can actually play defense, and they have been good on that side of the ball. But Gary mentioned the injuries, and I like the Browns. I think they're going to win 4-1, Cleveland. How about it?
All right, I like it, and I think Mitch hit the nail on the head. The only thing you worry about is, you know, the Browns being the Browns, but it's a chance you take in life. All right, next game coming up is the Seahawks at home, giving a touchdown to the Vikings. Total here a big 57.5. Mitch.
Yeah, this is one I'm not gonna think too much about it. Maybe people look at my picks and think I don't put too much thought into any of them. but this one, I like Seattle here. You guys know that I really love them. I picked them before the season started to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And I will admit that, and again, it's obvious if you look at the numbers, their defense has not been as good this season as I had hoped or expected coming into the year. And Jamal Adams is going to be out again, which is a problem. But I just think they are so good, especially on offense right now, that I just think they're going to take these middling teams and beat them by a touchdown. And yes, I'm talking about you, Minnesota, but, the Seahawks, they beat the Cowboys by 7. They beat the Dolphins by 8. I just think there's no reason not to think this game won't follow the same script, where Seattle is just going to score as much as they need to. And you're going to look up at the end of the game and they're going to be up by a touchdown. The Vikings, I know they did finally get their win, but I have talked earlier this season that I'm not high on them. I misread them going into the season. I do like Justin Jefferson. He's been really good the last 2 weeks. Part of the reason I picked the Vikings to win the NFC North was not just underrating the Packers, but thinking that he would step in and not fully replace Stephon Diggs, but be good enough that their offense wouldn't miss too much of a beat. But they haven't been as good as I thought they would be, and I love Seattle's offense, and I think they can win a game like this by a touchdown.
Gary?
Yeah, I'll stay away. I don't think the Vikings can cover these Seahawks receivers. That's the real difference this year with the Seahawks. I mean, they're throwing the ball much more frequently than they did, but they also have 2 receivers who just are very good and are going to pick on really bad secondaries, and the Vikings are really bad at cornerback. So I'd stay away. I wouldn't be shocked if the Vikings hung around. I think they are more explosive offensively than people think they are, because they just choose not to be under Mike Zimmer, but lean Seahawks, but stay away.
Yeah, just stay away from me as well. I was thinking Seattle, probably good prospect for a teaser, but interesting to see now if the Vikings pick up the pace here after a win last week. Dalvin Cook playing really well, so makes me nervous against that Seahawks defense. Last game of the week, the Saints giving 7.5 points at home to the Chargers. Justin Herbert is the quarterback permanently. Total here 51. It's amazing. everyone says Drew Brees can't throw, and every single one of the Saints games go over. Gary.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it helps when you're playing against the Lions, and they make you look pretty good here. But, you know, you get a Chargers team that's kind of predictable with what they do defensively. I think that's the kind of thing that Brees is just going to end up picking apart in the end. I'd stay away, ultimately. I'd want to know Michael Thomas's status going into it, because I do think that is a big difference maker here for the Saints. But I don't know. I love Justin Herbert. He's obviously he's come on a whole lot faster than people expected him to. Rookie coming into New Orleans, I'd lean Saints here, but I'd want to know more about the injuries going in.
I think I said this on the podcast last year, that I refuse to bet Chargers games because they're all so weird, and it's happening again this year. So that's my stance on this, Mitch.
I will say, Gary, you mentioned them coming into New Orleans. It's worth at least pointing out that this is the game they think might have to be moved because of the hurricane coming to New Orleans, and they actually might play this game in Indianapolis. I have no idea if that favors one team or another. I guess you'd think that probably favors the Chargers if you force the Saints to also travel, but either way, it sounds like it's a hectic week for both teams. And, you know, when you talk about home field advantage, especially in a season where the fans aren't allowed in the building, you know, you'd think a lot of being at home, the advantage is just literally not having to travel and having an easy, you know, an easy time with it. And if they're also spending part of the week in Indy and coming home and whatever, you know, it's tough on both teams. But regardless, I like the Chargers here. You know, I know that Austin Eckler is out, and that is a concern. It's so hard. I mean, you see some games where, like, Christian McCaffrey's out, and you think, oh, my God, the Panthers are done, and they've been fine. And that has happened in a few situations around the league this year where you see a running back go down, and, you know, we talk all the time about how valuable individual players are, and sometimes teams don't miss a beat. But, I do like them, and Gary, you mentioned Michael Thomas. Obviously, that is a huge difference in their offense. And, you know, all the criticism about Drew Brees, a lot of that does dissipate when Michael Thomas is in there and Drew Brees can throw the ball to Michael Thomas. So it'd be nice to know if he's going to play. But it just feels like the line's a little bit high. The Saints have definitely disappointed from what I think a lot of people expected from them going into the year. And I don't want to overhype Justin Herbert, but of course, you know, he's been impressive. And the spread over a touchdown here, I do like the Chargers to hang in with them.
All right, that wraps up the Week 5 schedule. Like we said at the top, minus the Titans and Bills and Patriots and Broncos. So now we will give you our best bets. As Mitch pointed out at the top, we've been hot this year. Good records. So let's see what we got this week. Gary, why don't you kick off our best bets segment?
All right, so I'm picking up Mitch's Cardinals fandom. I will go with them. I'm sorry, I very rudely didn't write down the lines yet, but I have minus 7 for the Cardinals at the Jets.
Correct.
I'm going the Dolphins plus 9 in San Francisco.
That is correct.
Colts minus 1.5 at Cleveland, though. That's, I would,
that line is 2. That line
it's
is
2 now. That's if yeah. As long as it stays under a field goal. Although, like I said, if both those linebackers are out for the Colts, I'd probably just back off that one and not touch it either way. And I will go the under 54 in Cowboys Giants.
Gary Gramley, a very, very risky individual betting an under in the NFL this season. Mitch, best bets.
All right, I only have 4 this week. I've had 5 or 6 every other week so far this season, but I told you at the top, I didn't like a lot of the games. My 4, I've got those Bengals. Is it plus 13 in Baltimore, or is that down to 12.5?
Cincinnati Bengals are plus 12.5.
You know what? That's fine. Take the extra half and a point. I like Cincinnati plus 12.5. I'll take the Rams minus 7.5 in Washington. Seahawks game, back on the primetime, both Sunday night and Monday night this week. I'll take Seattle minus 7 against Minnesota, and the Chargers plus 7.5 at New Orleans, or possibly Indianapolis, or wherever they play the game.
Yeah. I got 6 for you. A lot of overs here. Well, 3 overs and 3 sides. Over 45, Rams, Washington football team. I think Kyle Allen put some more points on the board than Dwayne Haskins. Over 44.5, Eagles, Steelers. If you get a 44.5 this year, you take an over. Over 54.5, Panthers, Falcons. No defense will be played in that one. And on the 3 sides, I'm gonna give you the Texans minus six in the let's celebrate Bill O'Brien being fired ball. Texans will come out, I think, and do a number on the Jaguars. Chiefs minus 12, standard play, and then the Cleveland Browns plus two against the Colts. Little head to head there with Gary, which I like.
Jimmy, I can't wait to follow along your tweets while I'm watching a 17-13 slop fest between the Eagles and the Steelers on Sunday, and neither of us are enjoying the game.
You'll be okay. I don't tweet it during the 1 o'clock games. I'm too busy focusing, so you'll be okay in that one.
All right.
So six from me and four from Mitch, and Gary gave us how many?
I gave you four.
Four. All right.
Jimmy, is it true? We covered every game on Best Bets except for the Titans, Bills, and the Patriots.
Yes.
Wow. Good for us.
Yeah, we got action in on everything. So, and we've been hot. Hopefully we stay hot for you guys listening. We appreciate you giving the pod a listen. We'll see you next week for week six. And good luck with the wagers.